Let us read this particular verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Altogether, please. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let us close our eyes. Let us look unto God for his help. Loving Heavenly Father, King of kings, Lord of lords, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your unconditional love. We thank you for your mercies. Even I too worship you, O Lord, that you are such a wonderful God, great God. Nothing is good in me, but thou art perfect. Thou art holy. Thou sits in high and lofty places. Wonderful God you are. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. After I accepted you and you gave inheritance of everything of yours, thank you, O Lord, for that. Even now, as we are going to meditate upon your word, please prepare ourselves to the listening of word. Please talk to me first and talk through me, O Lord. Hide me behind thy cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, my dears, July 4th, is an Independence Day of USA. Everybody knows about it. So as we are living in US, and yesterday you might have seen fireworks also in several places. So, but if you consider the work that went on in 17th century in order to get independence to USA was such a great thing. So many people have to put forth their lives. And then so many people must have sacrificed their families and their, you know, all the good habits that they have, all the habits and everything. So many things must have kept aside in order to give us independence. And that's why, you know, we are able to enjoy today, you know, from all the things that we have in the U.S. Such a wonderful thing it is. And now, when I was praying about God, that what should I speak today, and then God reminded me this particular words of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. So it says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. My dears, once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, believe it or not, you are in the warfare. You are in the warfare. You cannot literally leave the warfare and go. Satan will haunt us, definitely. So in order to win your spiritual battle, you need to be like a good soldier. It's not just like a soldier. It's a good soldier. Paul has written this letter to Timothy, right? So during that time, Paul was in prison and he must have dealt with so many Roman soldiers. And he had an idea how Roman soldier looked like. You know, the helmet and then sword and then breastplate and then belt and then shoes. All the things, you know, he understood the life of a soldier. That's why Paul is saying that you must endure hardship like a good soldier. He's not saying that, you know, you'd live like a good soldier. I mean, he's saying more than that. You must endure the hardship that you are going to encounter. And you need to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are going to meditate upon all those things. What does it mean by endure? And then how we need to win the battle, spiritual battle. So we are going to meditate upon it. But for today's meditation, let us read first four verses of Romans, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1, 2, 3, 4. Let us read these four verses all together. Let us read these four verses all together. Thou therefore, my son, Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Fourth verse, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Wonderful exhortation here that is given by Paul to Timothy. Okay? So before I start this particular, start the meditation of meditating of this word, so I would like to give a small illustration. In a church, there was a pastor. So once he finishes the sermon, he goes back of the church and he greets every person. So one day, he saw a man. And then, that man won't come to the church regularly. He comes only for the festivals like Easter, Christmas and all those festivals, main festivals. So he happened to see that person in a church. Then he was speaking to the person and he wanted to encourage him. And saying that, my dear son, you are not coming to the church. You need to come to the church and you need to really listen to the word of God. And you need to really, be in the fellowship and you need to be like a good soldier. And then he heard. And immediately he responded that, sir, I am working as a secret agent of Christ. Okay? My dears, there are no secret agents in Christianity. Okay? So, in so many places, Bible teaches us to pray and to participate in the bread and to have the fellowship and to listen to the word of God. So, Acts 2:42 also, all those four pillars of the church. So, one thing is fellowship is there, for sure. You cannot be like a secret agent who serves secretly and who worships secretly. So, everything is visible and everything is open. All right? And now, here, so what Paul is saying to Timothy is that you should not be like a secret agent, but you need to be a soldier. What does soldier do? Soldier goes in front in the battlefield. He cannot hide in the back. He goes in front and he fights the enemies. I mean, he cannot hide in some of the places too. So if he hides, other enemies will come and catch him and kill him. No, he had to fight. So in order to fight, he needs to be fit. All right. Now, in the first verse, he is saying to Timothy that thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So the word be strong in the grace touched my heart. We know that grace is an unmerited gift from the Lord, right? It's unmerited. You don't need to be deserved to take the gift from the Lord. So the salvation is a gift from the Lord. So gift means that you did not attain the gift, but God had given to you, right? And then so many verses talks about, saving grace. So many verses talks about the saving grace. So Romans chapter 8:1, in Christ there is no condemnation. So if we believe in Christ, there is no condemnation. So you are saved automatically by the grace. And Romans 3:24 also, we are therefore justified by the grace of Jesus Christ. So justified means that, God is declaring us not guilty. Jesus Christ or God is declaring that we are not guilty. So that's about saving grace. But here he's talking about different kind of grace. Okay? So three things that has listed down in our sermon notes also. So The heading is a gracious strength, right? So the gracious strength that why I have given is that be strong in grace. Be strong in grace. This particular grace is not a hidden grace. This particular grace is a shown grace. Shown grace. So the first, you know, you can fill the first one is grace is shown. Grace is shown. You can turn our Bibles to Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9, verse 8. Ezra, and it comes after 2 Chronicles. Ezra comes after 2 Chronicles. So Ezra chapter 9, verse 8. Okay, perfect. So thank you, brother. So grace has been shown from the Lord. So it says that now for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God. How can we understand this grace shown or grace is our strength? Okay, how can we understand this? So as I told you that grace is an unmerited gift from the Lord, right? Let's try to understand this thing from our Old Testament. The Old Testament, when people were in wilderness for 40 years, we know that from the Old Testament, right? So before starting the wilderness, what were they? What were they? Slaves. Slaves under Egyptians for so long time. Okay, maybe I believe it's a couple of hundreds of years. They were slaves under Egyptians. When we were under slaves, will we get a good food? No. Will we get a good cloth to wear? No. Will we have a good education? No. So only the thing that they need to do is a slavery. So whatever their boss says, they need to do it. That's it. They were under slavery. And now, let's fast forward a little bit. So, Israelites came out of Egypt, and then the Red Sea was departed into two things, and then Israelites came into the wilderness and started wilderness. So, they were wandering for 40 years. And before they came out of wilderness, God has promised to Abraham and then to several other people, Moses, that hey, I'm going to give you a promised land. And, in order to attain the promised land, was it really easy for Israelites? No. They have to go through hardships. So, I gave one example last time that if any one of you asked to take you from Maryland to Delaware, Maryland to Delaware. Then assume that one friend of you came forward and told you that, hey, I want to take you to Delaware. And then instead of going towards the New Jersey side, okay, he went to North Carolina, South Carolina, and then, and other places and to the west of United States, and then California. And then after that, he took you to the southern side of America, so all the countries, and he took you back, and again after several years, he came to Delaware. How do you feel? You feel bad, right? So Delaware, it takes like how much time? Maybe like a 2 hours maximum if you drive, and even if you walk, it will take several days to go there, but definitely not years, right? But think why God had allowed Israelites to go through the wilderness. The reason is very simple. To make them stronger and to show all the Israelites, about his grace. So how did they get the food? How did they get the meat? How did they get the water? Consider about all these things. Did they earn for it? No, they did not earn for it. I mean, in the sense that they did not do the hard work in order to get all these things. But God has given freely to them. They did not pay a single, you know, penny to God for all the things that God has given to them. Either it might be food, or whether it might be meat, or whether it might be a place to stay, or whether it might be, you know, drink the water. Everything was free. And consider another thing. As I told you earlier, that Israelites were slaves in the wilderness. That means they were weak. So as they were going through the wilderness, they need to go through all the big places, and they have to do the war. So can slaves win the war? No, because they were weak. They don't have anything. You know, maybe they were not used to all the swords and everything. But my dears, understand, you know, the main thing that I'm trying to convey, that is that grace of God was upon them. Because the grace of God was upon them, that's why they were winning all the wars. They were winning all the wars. And as they were winning, God has been strengthening them. God has been encouraging them. God has been putting them in the right direction. God has been correcting them. So many things that they learned throughout this wilderness experience. So that's why, my dears, you know, grace was shown through the wilderness experience also. And now here, Ezra 9:8. So, and now for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in the holy place. And consider this particular history also. And in this particular, during this particular time, all the Persians were invading Jerusalem and Israelites, and then they took them captives. And they were under Persians' rule during that time. They were not happy during that time. So now here he is saying that grace has been shown from the Lord. And now for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape. All the enemies were trying to destroy Israel. And even throughout all the centuries, so many people have tried to eliminate Israelites or the Jews from this earth. But God has been showing grace upon them. Showing. And even Jesus Christ was shown. I mean, God has shown his grace in terms of Jesus Christ too. And then next thing that here we can learn from me is the second point in the sermon notes, is that first thing is the grace is shown. God's grace is shown. Is always visible. Visible in your life and visible in my life. And now the second point is that grace is sufficient. Grace is sufficient. There are so many verses which talks about, that God has given sufficient grace to all of us. Whenever a soldier needs a helper, so generally he goes to his captain. So captain gives the orders to the soldier. Soldier just obeys it, right? He will not ask any questions. He just obeys it. That's why soldier always have to salute to the captain, always have to obey to the captain and follow the orders. And now, in order to get the help to the soldiers, he need to go to the captain. So being as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we also go to our captain. So Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Please read this. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. It says that, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says that, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So first of all, in order to get grace, you need to go to Jesus Christ. You need to go to Jesus Christ. So there is sufficiency in Christ Jesus' grace. So here it says, let us therefore come boldly, not just like, you know, doubting mind or doubting spirit, but you need to go with faith boldly to the grace of throne of grace, so that we may obtain mercy and we may obtain grace in the time of need. And we have Hebrews 13:9 also. Please read this. So before we go that, 2 Corinthians 12:9, please read that. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Wonderful. It says that Paul is saying, my grace is sufficient for you. So definitely, you know, Paul was going through several issues and problems and weaknesses in his life. And now Paul is saying is that Paul is saying that Jesus Christ told him that my grace is sufficient for you. Again, remember the word grace, and it is an unmerited gift of God. And also consider so many situations in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And even in the case of Moses, even in the case of Abraham. So God brought them to a lowly situation. So Abraham, you know, he gave up that he will not get a child. And Moses, and he gave up and thought that, God, I cannot speak. And God, these Israelites are bombarding with all the questions and so many things. I cannot handle this. And even in the case of Paul too. And initially he was brought himself to the lowly situation. And his eyesight was gone. And during that lowly situation, during those weaknesses, if God helps him, in the helpless situations, if God helps him, and then definitely God will be glorified. And definitely we can experience the sufficient grace of Jesus Christ in our lives. Sometimes we may think that, why God, you know, you brought me to this lowly situation. Why God, I have, you know, this weakness I have, but still I'm going through these sufferings because of my weakness. But now, my dears, Bible is encouraging us that, Jesus Christ's grace is sufficient in all the weaknesses, in all the infirmities, in all the lowliness situations of our life. That's why Paul is saying that Jesus Christ's grace is sufficient for me. And therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When Paul couldn't able to do anything, the power of God rests upon him. By this, Paul gets the energy and strength, and he was able to, do the service of the Lord. It was clearly visible. The grace was shown, my dears, and the grace was sufficient. You know, whatever the work that Paul has done, is only because of the sufficient grace of Christ Jesus. And that's why, you know, in one of the Bible verses, it says that, I have finished my race. I have finished my race. He completed it because of the sufficiency that the Jesus Christ has provided to him. God is wonderful, my dears. God is wonderful. Now turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, 1st verse. Now here, Paul was writing to Timothy and saying that, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. and consider all the above things that we have just meditated. So God's grace was shown, we have seen the God's help. Whenever we go to his throne of grace, God has provided his help. And whenever we are in weak, we are able to observe the power of grace. Right? So many things we have seen. So God's help, God's power, and God's showing power, everything, after these things. And now Paul is saying that, my dear, not only that. So here you need to understand that you will gain the strength because of grace. Now you understood? You will gain strength because of grace. Even because of grace also, you and I will get strength. And if you remember the grace of Christ Jesus, and you can always believe that God is there for you. And whenever you feel that God is there for you to help you, you will gain strength. You will gain strength. Again, I'm repeating you that grace of God is an unmerited gift from the Lord. And it's not because of, the way that react to the situation, God will help you. I mean, here, this particular thing, he's saying that be strong in the grace. And God's grace is going to shower upon you. So be strong. So being as a soldier of Jesus Christ, when we go through the hardships, we need to be stronger in those hardships. So that's why Paul is encouraging here is that you'll gain your strength because of the grace from the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And also, so many things that you'll face, whether it might be going through a particular sin or particular temptation or, satanic tactics, so many things that you may go through. While you are going through these things, just remember that you will gain strength from the grace. Three things that we have learned. What are those? Grace is shown. Second thing is grace is sufficient. And the third thing is grace is strength. So it is our strength. Grace is our strength. And now, second verse of 2 Timothy chapter 2. So please read a second verse. Thank you, brother. So here it says that we need to generate a successors. And Paul was telling Timothy that, hey, Timothy, you need to pass on the word that I have passed on to you to your next generation. And being as a soldier of Jesus Christ, we need to strive to pass on the word of God to our next generation. And here, if you observe carefully, in this particular verse, observe carefully, I'm going to read it. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to whom? Faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. So he needs to give the responsibilities to the faithful men, and not only that, and the people who are willing to pass on that to others as well. That you need to identify. Understand that Paul did not say that identify clever men in the church. Identify the people who have abilities in the church. He did not say that. But he said that identify who are faithful. Faithful in the Lord. Faithful in the Lord. So when we receive the grace from the Lord, the grace was shown and grace was sufficient. And that grace was sufficient, that grace was a strength to us. When we received all these kinds of grace, what we should do? We need to be faithful. We need to be faithful unto the Lord. So, blessings coming from the Lord. And then at the same time, our reaction, how the reaction should be from us. And we need to be faithful unto the Lord. Faithful unto the Lord. So, there are three things. The first thing is faithful unto the Lord is the first thing that we are going to learn. So please fill that, you know, generate successors. So under that, the first item is faithful to the Lord. So, my dears, in this same verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. So several times we refer this particular verse in the worship times. Please read 13th verse here. What a wonderful God he is. Even though we are not faithful, he reminds the faithful. So in Telugu, it is so wonderful. Manamu namma dagani varamainanu, ayana namma dagina vaduga undunu, ayana tana swabhavamunaku virodamuga ediyu cheyaledu. What a wonderful God that we have. He cannot deny himself. Against to his nature, he will not do anything. His nature is love, kind, showing faithfulness to us. Against to his nature, he will not do anything. Ayana tana swabhavamunaku virodamuga ediyu cheyaledu. Such a wonderful God that you and I have, my dears. So if we have such a wonderful God to us, how much more faithful to the Lord? So as I told you, that soldier always says that as captain. He will not, do the things by himself. Whatever the orders that he gets from the Lord, he does it. So here he's saying that, the way in which the Lord is faithful unto you, and you need to be faithful unto the Lord. So Hebrews chapter 3 verse 2, it talks about Moses. No need to turn our Bibles. So here wonderfully it says that just as the Lord himself was faithful as Moses. And we just learned that Lord was faithful in this particular 2 Timothy 2:13. And Hebrews chapter 3 verse 2 also it talks about Moses, when he was talking about Moses, as the Lord was faithful, and Moses was also faithful. And even Paul was also faithful in several other translations, if we can see. And being as a soldier of Jesus Christ, first of all, we need to show our faithfulness towards the Lord. And if you don't accept your king, can you really become a soldier? No, you cannot really become a soldier if you don't accept your king. But Bible says that once you become a child of God, and automatically you are in warfare, and automatically you become a soldier of Jesus Christ. When you become a soldier of Jesus Christ, you need to obey your king, and who is Jesus Christ, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, the second thing is faithful to the word. You can fill that. So faithful to the word. Not only that we are faithful to the Lord, but also we ought to be faithful towards the word. 2 Timothy 1:13. What does it say? Here it says that, Paul is saying that, hold fast the forms of sound words which thou hast heard of me. And first of all, try to understand the sequence. The first sequence is that Holy Spirit God speaks to Paul. Paul speaks to Timothy. And what Timothy is saying, what Paul is saying, Timothy, teach to your, successors. And again, what he is saying, Paul again, and identify and encourage that your successor may teach to another successors. So there are four different generations, if you can consider that. The God to Paul, and Paul to Timothy, and Paul, and Timothy to his successor, and his successors to another successors. So like that, it is like a kind of a chain. So 2,000 years back, Jesus Christ came down into this world. And then the faith that the early church that they have attained, they have been passing to their next generation. And by this, it came to us now. And we need to pass on that to the next generations also. And being the soldier of Jesus Christ, we need to do that. So that is what the Lord is teaching to us. And here, Paul is saying that whatever the sound words or sound doctrine that I have taught you, and you need to teach that pure and sound doctrine to others. And we need to obey the word of God all the times of our lives. That is the second thing. And third thing is faithful to the people of God. So you can fill in that. So first thing is faithful to the Lord. And the second thing is faithful to the word. The third thing is faithful to the people of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 7. Colossians chapter 1, verse 7. Yeah, Epaphras was an example that is given over here. He was faithful to the Lord and faithful to the church, or faithful to the people of God. And whatever he learned from God, and he was, you know, with the same gifts that God has given, or the same teachings that all Epaphras and other people have learned, and he was saying that he was faithful to the church also. And my dears, we need to be faithful to the church also. And we need to be faithful to our fellow brother or a sister too. And whether you might do, you know, the help to others, or take care of the activities of the other person, so many things. And main important thing is that taking care of their spiritual activities. And you need to be faithful to your fellow church members too. That is very important, my dears. So three things that we have learned here. So what are those? Faithful to the Lord, faithful to the word, faithful to the people of God. So these are the three things that, you know, we need to generate successors. We need to generate successors so that the word of God may be, you know, proclaimed to our generations and to our next generations. Again, so we are referring the main verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, that you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. My dears, whenever you are faithful to the Lord, whenever you are faithful to the word, whenever you are faithful to the people of the God, so you will face several hardships. Even though you get those hardships to you, you need to continually, you know, if you continually depend upon the Lord, so God's grace will be shown, and God's grace will be sufficient, and God's grace will be strengthened you during those situations. My dears, but, you know, I would encourage that in a warfare, for example, if the enemy cut your toe or cut your finger or something, you will not leave that warfare and run away. If you do that, enemy is going to come and kill you. Even though you get cut, or even though you get pain, or whether you eat or not, whether you drink or not, you continue to strive in the warfare. We always have to take the commandments from our captain, who is Jesus Christ. We have to say, yes, Jesus Christ. We are ready to face hardships. We are ready to go through these problems and issues of my life. And then I'm ready to fight for you. Such a kind of dedication that you and I need to have. Finally, we look into the other verses. Come back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Please read 3 and 4. Okay. Thank you, brother. So first, let's read the fourth verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Towards the second half, it says that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. In order to become a soldier of Jesus Christ, that God had to choose that person. It's not kind of a volunteership. What does it mean by volunteership? Whether the person chose you or not, you can go and do the service of the law, a service of something. You know, it might be volunteering in the fire department, volunteering in the public parks, and volunteering in several areas. So that means that, you know, the other person won't call you. You're voluntarily going and doing the work. But here, what does the Bible says? A soldier of Jesus Christ must be chosen. So in Bible, several places, it talks about we are chosen. So first, Peter 2:9, what does it say? You are a chosen generation. You are a chosen generation. So what does it say? Ephesians first chapter 4:5 verses. You are chosen even before the foundations of the world. And in John chapter 15, verse 16, what does, you know, Jesus told his disciples? You did not choose me, but I have chosen you. What a wonderful God he is. So choosing is not like, you know, if other people gathers over here, you know, I can choose one of you, for example. It's not like a choosing. Choosing is going out, wandering, and then identifying and choosing. Jesus Christ is like that for us, my dears. Jesus Christ is like that. So he came into this world. We did not go to the Lord. He came into this world. He wandered for all the sinners. And then he called and he has chosen us. Such a wonderful God he is. Such a wonderful God. If God has chosen us to be a soldier, it's a privilege, my dears. It's a privilege. Choosing, you know, to fight for God is definitely a privilege. That's why Paul is telling Timothy that endure hardships. Hardships will definitely come. You know, the battles cannot be won very easily. You have to fight for it. And when you fight for it, God is promising that my sufficient grace is with you. I'm going to fight for you. You just be in the battleground and take the sword, take the helmet, take the belt, take the shoes, and then you fight for me. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. Because you are a chosen person. Such a wonderful God that he is for us, that he has chosen. When he has chosen us, we need to be faithful unto him. We need to be loyal unto our captain. We always need to say, yes, captain, I'm always available for your service. There was a thing that, you know, story has, it's not a story, it's just, it's a real thing that happened. One of the book that is written, okay, so one of the counselor's experience was written over there. So a person who was serving in the ministry, he wanted to start a business. He wanted to start a business. After, you know, he started a business, and he initially thought that my business is just like a side business. It cannot be my main business because my main business is working in the vineyard. So that's what he thought, and he determined he started doing the business of the world. And then, you know, he earned initially. So as the business was growing, and he thought that, oh, my business is really growing. I cannot really serve the Lord. So he stopped serving the Lord. That was the first thing he did. He stopped serving the Lord. And then as the business was growing more and more, and then he thought that business is growing and a lot of pressures from the customers, let me do one thing. Let me stop going to the Bible studies. And then he stopped going to the Bible studies. And then as the business was growing and growing, and then he stopped coming to the Sunday service regularly. He was coming maybe a third week and a first week in a church like that. And then after the business is grown, there was a problem that happened in his business. And then he had to bankrupt himself. So he couldn't able to pay all the bills. Then he came to the counselor and said that, why did God allow me to this bankruptcy? Why did God allow me? First of all, he was not thinking that he left the Lord and he went away and he was doing the worldly business. But my dear, sometimes we also may give priority to the world events. It's okay, you know, to help others and to business, it's okay. But our primary motive is to be like a soldier of Jesus Christ. We all need to have to strive for it, endure the hardship. Okay? And the first thing is a God soldier chosen. And then second item is a carry out. Second item is a carry out. You can write it down that the soldier of Jesus Christ is chosen. And soldier of Jesus Christ need to carry out. So here in the fourth chapter, and Second Timothy second chapter, and 4 and 5, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him which has chosen to him to be a soldier. And if a man to strive for masteries, at he is not crowned. The fourth verse, right? I think I thought of reading the third verse too. So, thou therefore endure hardness as a soldier, a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So that is one thing. The second thing is that, second verse, he says that, the same commit thou faithful men. So the third thing, you can write it down, is committed. So in that particular sermon notes. So in order to become as a soldier of Jesus Christ, so these are the two things that we need to do. We need to be committed to the Lord, committed to the service of Lord. And not only that, we need to carry out and obey the commandments of God. In order to commit, my dears, you know, there could be so many hardships that you may encounter in your ministry, or in your spiritual life, so many things. So the problems may be internal, or the problems might be external. You do not know, you know, how the enemy is going to attack the soldier of Jesus Christ. So you always need to be prepared. You always need to be committed. So committed, you know, in general, being as a soldier, committed to grow up or make his body fit, and committed to do the hard work, and committed to his Lord, and loyal to his Lord. So all these things, he need to be committed, and then he need to carry out all those things. So he cannot say that, hey, on the day one, I was fit, on the day 10, I was not fit. No, we cannot be like that. So we need to be committed, and we need to continue or carry out the ministry that God has given to us. Okay, let's assume that, you know, for what the soldiers fight for in general. Fight for their land, right? Fight for their land, maybe, you know, occupying a land or defending their land or their country. The soldiers fight for it. They will not really, you know, happy to lose even a single cent of their land, right? Spiritually, we need to be like that, my dears. We need to be like that. I know so many weaknesses that we have and so many drawbacks that we may have. Whenever we are fighting with the devil or enemy who is very stronger, and we should not lose anything that is more important to the spiritual life. We need to strive for it. So endure hardships. That's what here Paul is saying here. So enduring is that, for example, you know, consider a gold, right? So from normal dust to the gold, in order to become that, so it needs to go through 32 steps, someone said. So let's say that after 15th step, the goal says that, no, I don't want to endure this hardship. I want to leave it. And then what would it become? So again, it will go to the dust, right? But in order to win the race, we need to complete all the 32 steps, like the gold sustained it. We need to endure those hardships so that we may gain crowns. So many problems we may get whenever we serve the Lord, and so many bad things may come against us, but still we need to endure the hardships and we need to go through it, and then so that we may become like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. May God bless this portion. So let's close our eyes. Let's close our eyes. Let us examine ourselves in the light of the word. That applies to me also. That we need to be like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:3, as we have learned, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So many times we might have missed the mark. So many times we have left the battle and went away from the work of the Lord. But here Bible is very clear. Paul is asking that you must endure the hardship. You must continue the hardship. And you need to finish off the task that God has given unto you so that Jesus Christ may say that, my faithful servant, my faithful soldier. My dears, if you are not striving to become as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, if you are unable to endure the hardships, let's ask the forgiveness. Let us examine ourselves in the light of the word and seek Him and see that God may forgive our sins and come back to Him. And again, let us be in the warfare. God's grace is given to us. God's grace is shown. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is always strengthens us, my dears. We are chosen people. As God has chosen us, as God has given His grace to us, we need to be like a faithful soldier, faithful servant, faithful to the Lord, faithful to the word, and faithful to the church people. My dears, this is the solemn moment. Let us examine ourselves in the light of the word that is preached.